Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's a pleasure to have you with us here live on Close Up Radio. It is always a pleasure to have you here, and we're very excited to welcome back a valued guest and friend of our series, psychologist and author, Dr. Susan Kavler Adler. She's in New York City. She's a clinical psychologist, psychoanalyst, training analyst, group therapist, and expert on dream analysis. She understands that a complete self is the essence of wellness. Art is a topic dear to Dr. Susan Kavler Adler, who was studying Renaissance art abroad at 18 years old. And when a chance encounter led her to begin studies in psychology along with literature, well, that became magic. She's also a dancer trained in dance therapy earlier in her career and later trained as an advanced Argentine tango dancer who published a book on Argentine tango in New York City. And the arts also figure into the analyst's group work with writers and role play and supervision and meditative psychic visualization, leading to sharing, expressing, and sometimes even mourning. And psychobiography of writers, artists, and psychoanalytic theorists play a good part in her already published 6 books and more than 70 scholarly articles. She's got a new book out, too, she's very excited about. Dr. Kavler Adler is surely a keen mind and was always an advanced thinker who completed her doctoral degree by the age of 24 and later won 16 awards for her writing and an honorary doctoral degree in literature. Dr. Kavler Adler has now been in private practice for some 46 years and loves every bit of it. She also has dedicated much of her professional life to working as a training psychoanalyst, a senior supervisor, and as a teacher of psychotherapists and psychoanalysts in training. She even launched the Object Relations Institute for Psychotherapy and Psychoanalysis. Really fascinating person. Her website is KavlerAdler.com. Let me spell that for you. KavlerAdler.com. We'll mention it again during the course of our broadcast, but join me in welcoming empowering woman of health and wellness and the incredible Dr. Susan Kavler Adler returning to Close Up Radio for this exclusive 30-minute conversation. Dr. Kavler Adler, thank you very much for joining us once again. You and I have chatted previously. We did a television video, and we've done a lot of great things. And it's so good to hear your voice, and I hope you're doing well. Welcome back to Close Up Radio.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. I definitely am glad to come back and have another dialogue with you. I always enjoy our back-and-forth conversation.
I do as well. They're always eye-opening and intriguing and insightful and inspiring. And, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. It runs through your DNA and through your veins. You're an accomplished psychologist with your own private practice, as I mentioned, and an institute that you founded and direct. Tell us about, if you can, this incredible experience and passion you have for what you do the last 40-plus years.
I work with individual patients mainly, and I work with people from 1 to 4 times a week. And I also do a monthly therapy and mourning group and support group. And I do a monthly supervision group and with the experiential role plays where the person plays the patient and I play the therapist, so people learn that way. My institute has been, and I have a writing group for writers as well. But my main work every day is working with individuals in intensive psychotherapy and psychoanalysis. I was trained as a psychotherapist and psychoanalyst at National Institute for the Psychotherapies, and then I founded the Object Relations Institute for Psychotherapy and Psychoanalysis in 1991, at that time along with Dr. Robert Weinstein, who then retired. So I'm the executive director, and the Institute grows all the time. We have a full programs, and they're available online, so we have people from all over and different countries and states, as well as in New York City. And I also work with people in various locations online now and on the phone, as well as, you know, in the city area. And my interest is in the mourning process and the creative process are all part of who I am. Having had a loss early in my life, when I was 10, my father died, I became very aware of how important the mourning process was to develop and move forward and have a theory called developmental mourning. So it goes beyond bereavement mourning, but it's really about how we need to mourn losses throughout our lives, and we need to mourn separations, and also to mourn fantasies about what we wished we had that we never had. There's so many aspects to mourning. And anger and aggression is part of it too, which I've written about in my book, The Anatomy of Regret. And I have a special book on mourning, Mourning, Spirituality, and Psychic Change. And the Anatomy of Regret book is also on more clinical examples of people in the mourning process where you could see the dialogues. I have books on women artists and writers where you see those who could mourn and those who couldn't within their work, and how when they couldn't mourn, they repeated their traumas over and over in their work. And these are brilliant and well-known women artists in the compulsion to create, women writers and their demon lovers, and the creative mystique from Red Shoes Frenzy to Love and Creativity. I also have a book on the Klein-Winnicott dialectic about this, the well-known, integrating the well-known theories of Melanie Klein and D.W. Winnicott into the most effective clinical experience, which interacts with my theory of developmental mourning, as opposed to pathological mourning, which I talk about in terms of the demon lover complex, where someone gets attached to a negative internal object or experience and can't go forward with mourning. Mourning is the way to go forward, and it's the way to open up new creative resources. So I've always seen the process in terms of mourning and creativity interacting. And of course, since I'm a writer and dancer, I've always been very interested in the creative process.
That's really incredible. It's such a varied and extraordinarily wonderful background that is full circle and all-encompassing, which I think gives you this extraordinary and keen ability to really understand all levels of the human condition, which I think is extraordinary because you've tapped into so many aspects of the richness of life yourself personally and professionally, which I think is fantastic. And that all leads to wellness and balance. And I know that's one of the things that you are very stridently working with your clients on. Last couple of years have been a little funky, a little crazy. Balance, wellness have certainly been something people have been striving for throughout their lives, but especially the last few years with all the crazy things that have happened. The focus of the series we're doing here is wellness. And tell me from your perspective about wellness, and should we say wholeness? Tell me about all of it and how it really plays and blends together. What does it mean, wellness, to you? And again, should we be saying wholeness?
Yes, I would use the word wholeness because a lot of the developmental process, which can be done in a therapeutic, psychotherapeutic process, involves integrating parts of the self that one is not conscious of. Sometimes there are parts that have been dissociated from the self because of trauma and need to be felt and integrated. Sometimes there are just thoughts or feelings that have been repressed and need to become conscious. and dreams and psychic fantasy and the relationship with the therapist and imaginings about the therapist and the self are all part of that process, getting towards an integrated wholeness. So yes, I would say that wellness and wholeness go together and that we have parts of ourselves that are, might seem alien to us that we need the support of a therapist to face so that we can integrate those parts and transform them into constructive parts of ourselves. A lot of people that I work with are concerned with their own self-sabotage, but that with the support of the therapeutic process, they can face parts of themselves and their internal world where they have others internalized that they, which they carry with you and them, and face those parts. And sometimes it comes through in dreams, and I focus a lot on dreams, but also just in thoughts and feelings and sessions and in fantasies that might come up as one is there in the supportive atmosphere of therapy. And grief and mourning are always ways of feel getting to a core level in terms of feelings where you can internalize new and better experiences and people and mourn and deal with the loss of letting go of old, more negative experiences and people that are within our internal world. So all of that relates to wholeness, self-integration, and working through problems in self-sabotage. I also work with fear of success and blocks to creativity. I mean, I work with everything as a psychoanalyst, but these are particular themes that do come up. There may be, people often think they may be guilty about things that hold them back, and then they find out it's not only guilt, but it can be fears of retaliation, fears of envy. You know, one person I was working with was, you know, had a this surprise experience of how much what she thought about guilt about going forward with her life when her mother had died and couldn't fulfill her artistic ambitions and her daughter was going forward. And she kept holding herself back, feeling blocked. And we talked about it in terms of trauma and then later guilt, but then it became fear of retaliation, fear that the mother... she had divided her mother into a good mother and bad mother, the good mother that wanted her to go forward and have a fulfilling life and the bad mother that she imagined would wait for her after her death in heaven and tell her this is her fantasy and then scold her or chastise her for going beyond the mother. So there was a fear of retaliation, fear of envy. A lot of times people don't understand how powerful envy can be in holding people back, one's own unconscious envy that could become projected onto others, and then you fear coming back at you when people really do act envious toward you and have contempt for you, which is a symptom of envy. But also, yes, the fear of being envied and the fear of one's own unconscious envy that one can even be envious of one part of the self, envious of another part of the self, and that could be projected out, and one then fears the envious other, kind of like with an evil eye outside looking at one, freezing one and stopping one from expressing oneself freely and being creative and having a true individual voice.
That is so true, right? I mean, it's one of those things where... You know, sometimes that voice is stunted and sometimes the voice is buried because fear comes in or fear of rejection, things of that nature as well, and then it doesn't lead to the wholeness and the wellness that we want. You're amazing as far as the understanding of all of that and working with your clients to work through all that to hopefully get to the other side. You're also, as I mentioned, an author who has written many articles and books about psychological theory, mourning, clinical cases as well, and you have a new volume of selected papers that are coming out soon. Congratulations on that. Let's share with the listeners on Close Up Radio some of the names of your nonfiction and academic books and where they can learn more or even get one for themselves.
Right. Well, yes. Well, I mentioned some of the six published, and you mentioned the Argentine tango book called Saturday Nights at Lafayette Grill, True Tales and Gossips of the New York City Tango Scene. That's very different. That has personal essays about tango and experience in New York, and it's all about connection. Because just like object relations thinking, it's all about the Argentine tango is all about connection more than steps and patterns that you do. And so there are personal essays in that book, and there are also interviews with top tango professionals. But my clinical books show really in-depth work between myself as a psychoanalyst and the patient, and how early disruptions in development can, or any ways that one was held back, comes up again, and can one can mourn the losses and move on, and that's done in the interactive dialogue with the therapist or analyst, and along with that there are the fantasies and the dreams and also, of course, how people are processing everyday life. That's in there all the time. So my latest volume is called, it's the first of three volumes of my selected articles coming out with International Psychoanalytic Books, and it's called Developmental Mourning, Erotic Transference, and Object Relation Psychoanalysis, which basically means dealing with one's internal world as it exists in the moment. How my talking to you can be influenced by the inner attachments I have inside of my internal world, how I am, how I respond, how I interpret you and who you are. It can all be, it's all influenced by our internal world. So when I say object relation, psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, it's about how the internal world is with us inside. And dreams are just one avenue to discover that internal world. Some people remember their dreams, others don't. But you can get even a sense of a feeling when somebody wakes up can be an avenue to the unconscious. And as a psychoanalyst, I deal with the unconscious. So my latest volume, which will be followed by two others, has many journal articles that I've published, plus chapters in others' edited books, like my chapter on fear of intimacy, my chapter on jealousy, my chapter on tolerable and intolerable regret, and I deal with how working through regrets is part of a mourning process too, that if one is conscious of one's regrets, one can overcome the self-sabotage of making the same mistakes or regrets over and over. The more you become conscious of what you did and what you regret, the more you can change in a positive way. So regret is an important part of my writings, too, in the Anatomy of Regret book. And there are chapters and articles that are in this new volume. My other books were published by Routledge and Carnac in London, the top academic press, and some republications of The Compulsion to Create and The Creative Mystique came through ORI Academic Press, which is the publishing company that's attached to my institute, the Object Relations Institute, which I founded and I'm the director of. So, yeah, it all works together. And, of course, fear of intimacy, fear of success, all the different fears that hold people back are all part of my daily work and helping people to feel things like feel their envy and jealousy, not just talk about it from their heads. All the time, it's about how we can get into our guts and our hearts and our souls, really, and not just stay in our head thinking about things, but be in the experience. Things can only transform and things can only become integrated for that sense of wholeness you talked about when one is very present and feeling from the inside, not in one's head. So that's how one transforms also the negative experiences in one's internal life into more positive possibilities, opening up to allowing penetration of the new psychic penetration is scary, and yet it's the only way to grow, allowing others in, not only on an intellectual level, but on a feeling level, those that we want to allow in, as opposed to be the victim of what comes inside of us like we were as children, where we couldn't select consciously what came inside. So all that's part of the developmental journey of the work and of the mourning and create a process of a therapeutic experience, which also people do in my monthly Saturday group where they share this as I do a psychic visualization where they go into who comes up from the inner world and talking to them and then sharing with the others what came up. So, and in individual therapy, they'd be having their spontaneous thoughts and sharing it with the therapist as I do, you know, daily with my patients.
That's so important, you know. It's so a word that I heard you say multiple times, as you already know, because we've chatted before on our shows, I tend to be a deep listener, sharing. I heard the word sharing with, you know, your clients and vice versa, the folks that are you're working with. I think that's a beautiful thing and a beautiful word that means so much. I mean, one area of focus for you is as creative people and how sometimes they get blocked. Tell us about love, creativity, dialect, healthy self-expression, and that monthly group you run for mourning and therapy, support, writing, mm-hmm. and experiential supervision for psychotherapists for all levels of creatives and writers. Sounds incredible.
Right, yes, and in the writing group, people share, and they share whatever they want to write and what they're thinking about in writing. They don't have to have a piece to read at the moment. They can just share what their thoughts are about their writing as they go forward. And people have published books and articles, but they also just enjoy the experience of writing there. So I'm always, my interest is always in opening up the individual human voice and getting to the inner feeling, true self, not being too overwhelmingly caught up in just images of the self, but being able to be living from within and from one's spontaneous feelings and thoughts. And that's what we focus on in sessions, and both individual and group, and also the defenses against that. Of course, a lot of my work as a psychoanalytic psychotherapist is helping the person be aware of how they block themselves with their defenses. And I work very deeply with people who have creative blocks or writing blocks, like the woman I mentioned about her fears of, there were underlying fears of maternal rejection, retaliation, but under that was a fear of falling apart and being abandoned, which went back to an early experience in her second year of life. And so all these levels interact in the unconscious, and the psychoanalyst, the psychologist like myself, helps the person who's in therapy to be able to see how, as they experience things now, they're also having triggered things from the past that interact with things in the present. So when we mourn a loss we have in the present, we're always also brought back to losses in childhood or other losses that we've had. We go back to often to a primal level of loss. I have a male patient who had lost one of his sisters, and when he was a young 12, and his sister was 6. And every time he deals with things and the losses that he needs to face, it always brings up the primal loss. But every time he works it through, he deepens his own self and his own awareness of his inner life, and he becomes more creative and less afraid of intimacy in the present, because he becomes less afraid of loss, which you have to risk loss when you're involved in love and intimacy. You also have to risk it in creativity because you have your responding audience out there. So you have to take risks. And to have your voice and to have your risk of expressing yourself and who you are in intimacy, all this requires awareness and letting go of old losses by reliving them, but also feeling them and then letting go of them is all part of moving forward. The, you know, the people in general who aren't in my field have very often limited understanding of how what a mourning process is as a developmental process, that it's not just about a certain short period of bereavement. People often think that someone should be over it, like get on with your lives, and that's the worst message to give someone who's had a loss of a loved one or just a loss of a job or an apartment. I mean, we have to mourn things that are dear to us, that we, our lovers are in breakups, everything. You know, I've been in a very long-term marriage, but it always is there with me, like, what if my husband were to die? When will he die? Eventually he'll die, I'll die. I mean, these are things we live with, and when it actually happens, of course, I'm there with many people who have these losses and help them see that they should take as long as they need to go through it. And I also help them see that there's the positive side, that when they go from the emptiness and the void or the and the rage that's there to the grief and sadness, that there's a whole evolutionary developmental process in their feeling states. It's there in their feeling states. There's an evolutionary developmental process. And when they get to the sadness and grief, they open up love. And they open up, when you open up that love through sadness, you open up creativity too. The capacity for love and creativity are come from the same place on a feeling level. So when you face these losses, you also open up the potential for creativity and for developing oneself anew. But it, the pain of loss, of course, is very acute. But the more you mourn the pain, the more you get to love within sadness. Beyond the pain or the anger, you get to love within sadness. And that's where the transformation truly takes place over time and continues to evolve.
That's incredible. That's so beautifully said. You know, we only have like 2 minutes left, but I want to slip in here that you dance the Argentine tango, and you write creatively, and you enjoy life with your husband, who you say is an excellent cook. All this is very important to you, the balance of life, isn't it?
Yes, of course, yes. Having dance and writing in my life, even if it is related to my, I've written short stories and those kind of, that creative writing, but I also do so much, as you see, of professional writing. But for me, that's a balance also with sitting with someone and being in person in a session. Writing is another side of me that gives balance. Dancing is another side of me that gives balance. Yes, enjoying the food my husband cooks is another side of my life. And walking and just, like I like New York City because you can walk everywhere, and going for vacation in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I can walk around. You know, so all that, it's time to contemplate and have self-reflection on oneself. And we can allow ourselves to be in, more and more in touch with our unconscious, and that enriches our inner experience, and that, of course, enriches our experience with others and within ourselves, with our creative potential, and for having our individual voice in our intimate life and in the world in general and our professional lives. It all works together.
It all works together. It sure does. It absolutely does. Want folks to know that the website is kavleradler.com. And this was a real pleasure once again, Dr. Kavler Adler, to have you on the show. I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you. I can't believe it went so fast. And look forward to expanding and exploring more together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I just want to mention my email is drkavalerader@gmail.com. So it's drkavaleradler@gmail.com, and the website is www.kavaleradler.com. Okay. Thank you very much.
Enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you. It was another treat to chat with you, Doctor, and again, looking forward to exploring more together. Hope you enjoyed it as well as much as I did.
Yes, I did. You always ask meaningful questions, and I can just launch into my thoughts that way. I always enjoy the pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. You have a wonderful day, and thanks for joining us on the show. For the folks listening, this entire episode is fully archived, so you can hear it again and share it. Dr. Susan Kavaler-Adler is a clinical psychologist and psychoanalyst, training analyst, group therapist, and expert on dream analysis, and she understands that a complete self is the essence of wellness. We thank her for joining us. We thank you for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time till next time and inviting you to stay right there because another great episode comes up in just a moment here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.